Hare Krishna, everyone. So we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita from text 32 to 35, and we'll be reciting text 35. So I'll just read through the other texts. The nectar from the lips of Lord Krishna and his transcendental qualities and characteristics surpass the taste of the essence of all nectar, and there is no fault in tasting such nectar. If one does not taste it, he should die immediately after birth. And his tongue is to be considered no better than the tongue of a frog. One's nostrils are no better than the bellows of a blacksmith if one has not smelt the fragrance of Krishna's body, which is like the aroma of musk combined with that of the bluish lotus flower. Indeed, such combinations are actually defeated by the aroma of Krishna's body. The palms of Krishna's hands and the soles of his feet are so cool and pleasant that they can be compared only to the light of millions of moons. One who has touched such hands and feet has indeed tasted the effects of touchstone. If one has not touched them, his life is spoiled and his body is like iron. So this is the next verse, is the one we're reciting today. So we can all repeat after me. Translation and purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lamenting in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened the doors of grief within his heart. Morose, humble and disappointed, he recited a verse again and again with a despondent heart. Purport. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the word dainya, humility, is explained as follows. When unhappiness, fearfulness and the sense of having offended combine, one feels condemned. This sense of condemnation is described as dinata, humility. When one is subjected to such humility, he feels physically inactive. He apologizes and his consciousness is disturbed. His mind is also restless, and many other symptoms are visible. The word nirved is also explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One may feel unhappiness and separation, as well as jealousy and lamentation due to not discharging one's duty. The despondency that results is called nirved. When one is captured by this despondency, thoughts, tears, loss of bodily luster, humility and heavy breathing result. Vishada is also explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. When one fails to achieve his desired goal of life and repents for all his offences, there is a state of regret called Vishada. The symptoms of Avasada are also explained. One hankers to revive his original condition and inquires how to do so. There are also deep thoughts, heavy breathing, crying and lamentation, as well as changing of the bodily colour and drying up of the tongue. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 33 such destructive symptoms are mentioned. They are expressed in words, in the eyebrows and in the eyes. These symptoms are called Vyabhichari Bhava, destructive ecstasy. If they continue, they are sometimes called Sanchari, or continued ecstasy. Om Jnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padhan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavatya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadhi Paschatyadeshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gidadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, everyone. So, thank you all very much for being here today. I'd like to seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, that I can speak something which is inspiring and also relevant to us all. So, we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 2, text 35 we recited, but we read from text 31. And these verses are explaining about how when Krishna engages with the senses, the pure bliss that one feels. And on the other hand, those people who don't have that great fortune, for them, their life is a waste. And we can see in the verses that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is quoting, it's using very strong words, like their tongue is no better than a frog. So to illustrate this point of how amazing it is when Krishna engages with our senses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Mahabhav is quoting these verses. And I remember before I came into Krishna consciousness, sometimes at home we used to listen to these Hindi bhajans. And there was one bhajan that always kind of stayed with me. I always remembered it. And this bhajan, it actually started with a prelude. So this person, this singer, he was saying about how the different senses are only considered to be senses if they are engaged in the service of Krishna. So the first line was, He aankh wo jo shaam ka darshan kiya kare. So he's saying that real eyes are only eyes that see the Lord. He's saying one mouth is useless if he remains in just worldly talks. But a true mouth is one who's always reciting the holy names. So at that time, it was a very unique concept for me because my senses were engaged in only material things. And I thought, wow, this is really amazing that someone is saying that the senses are only real or only put to good use when in the service of the Lord. So unfortunately for many of us, we may not be feeling the touch of Krishna just yet. And these verses said that if we are not feeling the touch of Krishna, then we should just die. But there's an in-between. And those who are engaged in serving the Lord, their senses are being purified. Sarvapadi vinir muktam tat param nirvalam. Rishikena rishikesha sevam bhaktim uchyati. When one engages his senses in the service of Rishikesh, who is the king of senses, his senses become purified. Before we ever do any yajna, any ceremony, as part of the purification rites, we chant this verse. Because when we're doing a yajna, we're engaging all of our time, different materials, different substances. We're chanting different mantras. We're lighting a fire to invoke Krishna. And in this way, we're engaging all of the senses in Krishna's service. So we chant this verse, that by engaging my senses in your service, please purify my senses. Srila Prabhupada in one class, he was talking about speaking to Krishna. And he said, if you want to speak to a big man, even in this world, you need to become qualified. You need to have some qualification. Just like if you wanted to see the Prime Minister, he would have to have some reason for you to meet you. So similarly, Krishna is the biggest man. And Prabhupada was saying that in order to speak to him, one has to become qualified. And he says that Krishna is waiting to talk to you. It is possible that you want to talk to Krishna, but you must be fit to talk to Krishna. He has come in his Archa Vigraha, deity form, to talk with you, to be visible with you. Now you make yourself ready and fit to talk to Krishna. Then he will engage conversation. So Prabhupada many times mentioned this point about just like I'm talking to you face to face, we're having a conversation. One can similarly have a conversation with Krishna, but he has to come, he has to become qualified, he has to become purified. And when I first came to the Krishna Conscious Movement and I came to the temple and I engaged in all of the seeing the different aspects of Krishna consciousness, and I thought, wow, Krishna consciousness is amazing. The prasadam is amazing. The deities are amazing. The devotees are amazing. And in my mind, I thought that, wow, all these people are pure devotees of the Lord. Not only did I think that everyone was a pure devotee, but I thought that very soon I will also become a pure devotee. And I think this time next year, I'll be a pure devotee. I remember when I used to be young and I used to watch this program. And in this program, their line was always like, this time next year, we'll be millionaires. And this series went on for many, many years. And in the end, they did become millionaires, but it took them a very long time. So similarly, when we first come to Krishna consciousness, we see the devotees, we think that everyone is on the topmost level. But we don't understand that Krishna consciousness or the temple is like a hospital and everyone is being treated. So everyone is at different levels, but at least they're being treated. In the outside world, they're not even realizing that they have a disease or they have a problem. And Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Shipram bhavati dharmatma shashvam shantim nigachyati kaunteya pratijanihi. Name bhakta pranashyati. He says shipram, which means very quickly. one will become dharmatma. He'll attain long-lasting peace. So Krishna says that it happens very quickly. And Srila Prabhupada, he was once giving a class and someone asked the question, that how long will it take us to become fully Krishna conscious? And everyone was expecting that Prabhupada would say many lifetimes. But Srila Prabhupada's answer was actually very amazing. And he said, within a moment, one can become fully Krishna conscious. So Krishna is saying that it's very fast. Srila Prabhupada is also confirming that. So why is it that we don't see this in practice? Why is it that for us, it may not happen in a moment? Why does it take us many, many years, sometimes many lifetimes? So I was trying to meditate on this point about why it takes so long. And there may be many, many reasons. But the first such reason could be our desire. We all desire Krishna to some degree. We all desire to be the servant of Krishna. Otherwise we won't be here today. And Krishna doesn't interfere with our desire. He is the cause of all causes, but he doesn't interfere with one's free will. And the greater we desire Krishna, the more he'll reciprocate. Ye yatham am prapadyante tam satevya bhajamyaham. And we see even in the material world that if we have a strong desire to achieve something, to do something, then we get that determination. And many times we can quickly achieve what we desired. I remember when I wanted to learn how to sing. So one of my friends, he's a very, very good singer. So I asked him that, Prabhu, please, could you teach me? And he's like, yeah, sure. So he taught me a few rags and notes and things. And he's like, okay, now you have to go home and practice. You have to practice every day. It's like the vocal cord is like a muscle. And just like when you go to the gym and you want to build muscle, you have to go regularly. If you don't, then you'll just lose it. So I was like, okay. So I was determined for a few weeks and every day I was practicing. And then life got busy and I got engaged in many other things. So I stopped practicing. And this devotee asked me, it's just like, oh, Prabhu, how's your practicing going? And I was just like, oh, to be honest, you know, I've got so much going on in my life. I've got service, I've got my chanting, my sadhana, then I've got my work, and then I've got my flying, and I've got so many things. Sometimes I just don't get time. And he said, you know, if you really desire it, if you really want it, then you'll make time. And then I thought about it and I thought, well, actually, do I really desire? So similarly, in Krishna consciousness, we desire to be Krishna conscious, but sometimes we desire other things as well. Sometimes we desire to still enjoy our senses, right? We still want to enjoy the pleasures of the material world. Krishna says, Abrahma Bhuvana Loke Punavrita Arjuna, that from the highest planet to the lowest planet, there is no enjoyment in this material world. It's just a place of repeated birth and death. But we think that actually, Krishna might not be right. And there might just be some little bit of enjoyment in this world. And it's going to be my job to find it. So even though we have some desire, we have the desire to enjoy our senses is greater. So we go along on a path, but we don't progress as quickly as we could. For other people, they have that desire, but they've seen or they've heard that when one becomes Krishna conscious, when one gets special mercy from Krishna, everything is taken away from them. And they are not ready for that. We see in Prabhupada's life, he actually speaks about it. That he had a pharmacy business, he had his family. And he said, Krishna took everything away from me so that I could just surrender to him. And for us, we may not be ready for that. So we feel that if I do too much, if I desire Krishna too much, then Krishna might just take everything away from me. And then what will happen to me? So we don't have faith in Krishna's plan. But don't worry, Krishna won't do that until we're ready. So, in this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking about his ecstasy. And he's saying, he's lamenting, he's full of grief, he's disappointed. And when we read such things, we think that, I thought Krishna consciousness was meant to be a happy, joyful process. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking about how he's feeling so morose, so disappointed. But we have to understand that this is also an ecstasy. Even though he's feeling like this, from within, he's feeling great satisfaction, he's feeling great fulfillment. We were speaking about, last time I came, about Vipralamba, separation from the Lord, and Samyog, meeting the Lord, are the same. Because in both, that sense of fulfillment, that sense of ecstasy is there. In regarding to why we don't progress so quickly, the first point I was speaking about was desire and faith. But we could have that desire and we could have that faith, but sometimes many obstacles come in the way. And it's explained about the sixth anarthas: lust, anger, greed, envy, pride. So we have that desire, we want to become devotees, we want to become the servant of the Lord, the servant of devotees. But these qualities actually get in the way. And sometimes we don't even see that these anarthas are present within us, that these obstacles are present. We just carry on. And then one day, because of these anarthas, we make an offense to the devotees. And because of this offense, then we can't progress. I remember when I was flying and I was doing my test, as part of the final test, you have to plan a route from one place to another place. And there's three different legs in that route. And when you come to the second leg, as part of the examination, the examiner will say, okay, we can no longer progress on your planned route. We have to make a diversion. And he'll point to somewhere on the map. And he's like, I want you to take me to this place. So as you're flying the plane, you have to draw a line. You have to work out the heading, the track, the wind correction, all of these things. And then you take up that route. And you can only pass the test if you actually find the point that he pointed to on the map and point it out as you're flying over. And the reason they do this is because as one who holds a basic license, they're not allowed to fly through cloud. Because what happens when you fly through cloud is the senses start telling you the wrong thing. So you could be flying straight, but the senses are telling you, actually, you're in a turn and you're going down. So you try to go and correct that. And when you correct it, you start doing the opposite of what you should be doing. And when there's this phenomenon called stalling in flying. So what happens is that you stall, and when you stall, the aircraft doesn't have enough lift. It's quite technical, but the aircraft doesn't have much lift, and you're in the cloud, so you can't see the horizon. And then the plane starts to do a spiral dive. As it spiral dives, it comes out of the cloud, and then you see that, wow, I'm facing the ground and I'm about to die. So it's explained that the biggest killer of pilots is flying from good weather condition, flying into clouds. So these, I was meditating, because I try to dovetail my flying into devotional service. This kind of makes it bona fide. So I was just thinking that sometimes these clouds are like our anarthas. And we don't see them until we're deep within the cloud. And when we're deep within it, we start trying to adjust things. Because the false ego always thinks that we're right. So even though we may have these things, we may not be recognizing. We might be seeing these faults in others. So we're deep within this and we start spiraling out of this cloud. Our devotion starts takes a spiral dive. So we have to be careful and conscious, always checking ourselves for these anarthas and how we can recognize them and address them before they spiral out of control. So how can we increase our desire to serve Krishna? How can we increase our desire to become a pure devotee? There's many ways, many different ways. But one very potent way is to study the prayers of the different Vaishnava saints. And by studying their prayers, we get a revelation of their heart. We can see how much love they have, how much inspiration they have. This verse that we were reading about today was speaking a lot about humility, the purport. And I remember when I was quite new in Krishna consciousness, I heard this point about humility quite often. And I spoke to a senior brahmachari and I said to him, you know, it's very difficult to be humble because it feels like it's against my nature. And it feels like happiness comes from being glorified. So how is it that I can become humble? And this devotee said that, you know, you've asked a nice question. The best way, in my experience, to become humble is to read about the acharyas, to read about those devotees who are so humble. And this will inspire you to become humble. So similarly, if we want to increase any of our qualities, if we want to increase our desire for Krishna to become a servant, then we can read the prayers of the different Vaishnava saints. And as this month is the month of Damodar, Kartik Mas, I thought we could briefly look at the Damodar Astakam and see what lessons we can learn from this prayer. So the Damodar Astakam is found in the Padma Purana and it's written by Satyavata Muni. And we sing sometimes with different prayers. We sing them every day and it can become quite robotic. The prayer can just lose meaning. We're just doing something just ritualistically and we're not really understanding. So it's good once in a while to read the meaning of the prayer. So Satyavata Muni, he begins his prayer by saying Namam, which means to pay obeisances. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, Man mana bhavo mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru. That one should always remember me and pay his obeisances. So paying obeisances is a very important part of devotional service. It's explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when one pays obeisances and looks up and sees a smiling form of the Lord, all difficulties, all miseries are dried up simply by paying obeisances. And I was just meditating on this and I was thinking that, you know, when I'm at home, my obeisances are very short. Very quickly I pay obeisances. And even I come to the manor on Saturday mornings for morning service at 3 o'clock. And so no one's in the temple room. So my obeisances are very quick. But if there's a room full of devotees, then my obeisances are slightly longer. Because I want everyone to see that I am a great devotee. And this is the ego. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj says that we can see how well we're doing in devotional service by how we act when no one is watching us. So sometimes when we come in front of devotees, we like to make a show and we pay obeisances for a bit longer. where, you know, we say the prayers a bit more clearly, a bit more nicely. And this is nice, but we should always be doing this. I remember when we went on a Pandav Sena trip in France many years ago, and it was Guru Puja. And so we were all offering flowers to Srila Prabhupada and paying our obeisances and chanting his pranam mantra. And one devotee, he went up, he offered his flowers, and he paid obeisances. And usually it's about 20 to 30 seconds that people pay obeisances for. So a minute had passed and this devotee was still paying his obeisances. And I was thinking, wow, he's in ecstasy or something's happening. A few minutes later, he was still there. And then so someone went up to him and said, you know, there's a queue full of people. Are you okay, Prabhu? And he was sleeping. So sometimes that's our condition. We pay obeisances and we fall asleep. And who is he offering his obeisances to? It says, Namam Ishwaram. Ishwara, the supreme controller. And why does Satyavrata Muni start the prayers like this? He starts the prayers because the pastime that he's about to explain is very bewildering. For any mundane person reading this pastime of Krishna, how Krishna cries, how Krishna's scared of his mother, how Krishna gets tied up, it just sounds like a mundane child. So in order to set the record straight, Satyavrata Muni starts by saying, Namam Ishwaram. That this person that I'm about to speak about, this person that I'm about to describe, is none other than the Supreme Lord. Please do not be confused about this. Ishwara means supreme controller. The one who is controlling everything. And then he says, Sachit Ananda Rupam. That his form is full of bliss, full of knowledge, and eternal. Bilvan Mangal Thakur, great Vaishnava saint, he's speaking about Krishna's form. And he says that Krishna Stu Bhagwan Swayam. Krishna is the original. From him, all other incarnations come. And he speaks about a specific incarnation, the boy incarnation, Vaharadev. And he says Vaharadev was so huge that we cannot even imagine. He picked up the earth. And that earth just appeared like a small football on his nose. And it's explained that one skin pore of Vaharadev, all the oceans of this world can fit in there, and there is still space for more water. That's how huge he is. And he's saying, Bilva Mangataka is saying like this, that he is so huge, so he's original, how big must he be? But the bewildering thing is that Mother Yashoda takes one bucket and puts water over him and his whole body is covered. So whenever Krishna appears, he appears, no matter what form he's in, his form is always Sachit Ananda. The next line, he speaks about Lasat Kundalam. He speaks about his earrings. And Uddhav, in the third canto, he quotes this verse. He says that Krishna's form is so attractive that mere mortals cannot understand it. Even Krishna becomes attractive by seeing his own form. There's this one pastime where Krishna's stealing butter. And as he's stealing butter, he sees a jewel pillar in front of him. And he sees his reflection within that pillar. And he becomes stunned when he sees his reflection. And he doesn't recognize that he's himself. And he says, why are you stealing my butter? To his reflection. And then Mother Yashoda comes on the scene. And Krishna's telling his reflection, don't tell Mother Yashoda that I'm stealing butter. And then he looks up and he sees Mother Yashoda's there. He says, I didn't steal the butter, he stole it. And he points to the pillar. So Krishna, Mother Yashoda felt that it was very sweet. And Uddhav explains that usually we put on ornaments to beautify the body. We put on earrings to make the ears look nicer. But for Krishna, he's param padam bhushanam bhushanangam. For him, the ornaments actually get beautified when they're put on Krishna. Gokula brajamanam. Krishna is shining in Gokul. And we see how dear the residents of Gokul are to him. Because they are always reciprocating in different ways. So like the Brajvasis, we have to follow in their footsteps. And we don't try and enjoy Krishna, but we try and serve him. Gaga Muni, when he was doing the name-giving ceremony for Krishna, he said that this boy will be the cause of auspiciousness, and he will help you overcome inauspiciousness. Which means that inauspiciousness would be coming. There were many demons that came to Vrindavan. There were many difficulties, the forest fire, the rains. So many difficulties. But the Vrajvasis overcame these by taking shelter of Krishna. Similarly, in our lives, in this material world, there will always be difficulty. But if we take shelter of Krishna, those difficulties actually become great festivals, like during the Govardhan Puja. Indra was showering the rains. And the Vrajvasis, they turned to Krishna and they said, Krishna, save us. And Krishna lifted up Govardhan Hill for 7 days. And for 7 days, they got to see Krishna. Normally, different sets of groups of devotees would see Krishna throughout the day, but no one would see him through the whole day. And because of this festival, then they got to see Krishna. So sometimes we find that in our lives we go through many difficulties. But when we take shelter of Krishna, those difficulties actually become great festivals. The Vrajvasis had to move from Gokul to Vrindavan. And they didn't resist. They didn't say that, no, we're not going to move. This is too difficult. They just instantly got all their belongings and moved. So similarly, when we have problems in our life, the easiest thing is to renounce it, just to leave that situation. And Krishna says, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmanana yuddhayacha. Krishna says to Arjuna, because Arjuna wanted to do the same thing. He faced a problem, and he wanted to renounce it. Krishna, I want to go to the forest and I just want to meditate. And Krishna said, no, you fight, but you fight remembering me. So the Brajvasis, they had many difficulties, they experienced many difficulties, but by taking shelter of Krishna, they surpassed all these difficulties. The next line, Yashoda Bhiyoloka Ladhavamanam. Yashoda Maya is chasing Krishna in the mood of Vatsalya, and Krishna is scared. And then Krishna is caught by Mother Yashoda. Now we see that so many yogis, so many jnanis are trying to catch Krishna within their heart and mind. But no one was able to catch him like Mother Yashoda. He was simply caught by love. So it's explained that Krishna takes more pleasure in being defeated than being served. And in the Braj Leela, we see how Krishna is defeated in the wrestling match by Sri Dharma. He's also defeated by the gopis and he's tied up during the tax collection. We see here in this pastime, he's defeated by Mother Yashoda. So similarly, our prayer should be that we would like to be defeated by Krishna. We would also be like to be defeated by the devotees. The next verse. Rudantam muho netra yugmam rijantam. Krishna is crying. Rudantam. Mrijantam, he's rubbing his eyes. It's explained that death personified is feared by Krishna. In the Purushukta, the first verse, Om Sahasra Shesha Purushaha Sahasraksha Sahastrapad Sabomin Vishvato Vritva Atyatishta Dashan Gulam. That the Lord has thousands of heads, thousands of feet. He's so vast. And that same Lord, the original of that Purusha Sukta, of that Purusha Rupa, is Krishna is now crying because of a small stick that Mother Yashoda has. During the pastime of Agasura, when Agasura was defeated, the demigods became very happy because Agasura was causing a lot of problems to the demigods. And in their jubilation, they were playing trumpets and playing drums and so many other things. And this noise was so loud that Brahma heard in his planet. And Lord Brahma, he came to the demigods and he said, you know, what's happened? And he said that Krishna, this small boy, has killed Agasura. And Brahma got bewildered. So this little boy, how has he killed such a demon? So then Brahma decided to test Krishna. And the Brahma Vihoma Leela came about. Similarly, Indra also got bewildered by Krishna. That how is this little talkative boy stopping my sacrifices? So we see how the demigods get bewildered by Krishna. And Krishna also says, Vedaham samattitani vartamani charjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mam tu vedana kashchana. Krishna says, I know past, I know present, I know future, and I know everyone. But no one can know me. So it's very difficult to understand Krishna. He's performing this pastime. He's crying. He's in fear of his mother. So how is it that, how can we understand Krishna if even the demigods can't understand Krishna? The next line, Karam bhoja yugmena sateka netram. As it's explained that there are different levels of fear. Bhaya is one level of fear, but atank means terror. Sometimes we hear this in India in the news, they say atankvadi, which means terrorist. So it's explained that in Krishna's eyes, there was that much terror. He was that scared of Mother Yashoda. And he was crying torrents of tears. It's saying that there was a pool of tears near his feet. And as I was explaining previously, there's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that says, a yogi should similarly meditate on the most benevolent smile of Lord Sri Hari. A smile which for all those who bow to him dries away the ocean of tears caused by intense grief. So we see that Lord Hari is drying up our tears. But in this pastime, he is crying an ocean of tears. And I was reading that these tears were so great that such a pool was forming that Yogamaya had to intervene and had to stop this pool from forming, because otherwise this would hamper the pastime, because Mother Yashoda would feel so sorry that she's causing Krishna to cry so much. Muhu swasa kampatri etanta kantha. He's breathing so heavily. We find as Mahavishnu, just one breath and all the universes come out. One breath in and the universes all come back in. But in this, the original Krishna, he's breathing so heavily. So these first two verses, they explain the pastime of the Damodar Leela. And now, in the next verse, Satyavrata Muni is explaining the reason why Krishna is performing the pastime. And he says, Iti Drikshva Leela Pi Ananda Kunde. The whole reason that Krishna is coming and performing these pastimes. Now Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya Glanir Bhavati Bharata. That whenever there's a decline, I come. Paitanaya Sadhuna Vinashaya Chaduskrita. I come to protect the devotees. I come to destroy the demons. But the real reason why he comes is this reason. Iti Drikshva Leela Bir Ananda Kunde. He comes to drown the inhabitants of Vraj in oceans of bliss. Just by hearing his pastimes, so much happiness comes within our heart. Tadeva ramyam ruchiram navam navam. Tadeva shashvam manaso mahatsavam. Tadeva shokha navashoshanirnam. Yaduttama shloke yasho nugiyate. That these pastimes, this is a quote from a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. These pastimes are so amazing that they are ever fresh, they are full of taste. When one hears them, there's a great festival in one's mind. It dries up all difficulties, all misery of this world. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita, what we're reading from today, he said the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are like an ocean of bliss. And even after writing the whole of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I am simply standing at the shore of this ocean and just dipping my hand in. Only a small drop of the nectar of the ocean of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The next line, Swagosham Nimajyam Akhyapayantam. Nimajyantam means that they are drowning, they are immersed in this ocean. And those who know it, they spread this. So those who know the pastimes, they spread these pastimes. Tadi eshi tagneshu bhakte jitatvam. And the product that Krishna is advertising is bhakti. And how the power of bhakti can even conquer himself. Puna prematasam tam satavriti vande. So he said, thus I offer my obeisances to such love, millions and millions of times. So to get that love, to get that pure love, one needs to take the association of devotees. Lord Chaitanya, after finished his tour of South India, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked him, how was your tour? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I saw many nice places, but after touring all of South India, I never met a devotee like you, Sarvabhauma. But there was one, Ramananda Rai. So we can see the importance that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu puts on seeing devotees. The next three verses, I'll try and speed through because I know we're running a bit late. The next three verses, he's asking for benedictions. So he says, Varam deva moksham na moksha vadhinva na chanyam rineham varisha dapiha. That, oh my Lord, I don't want liberation. I don't even want to live in Vaikuntha. All I want, idam deva purnatha gopala bala. All I want to see is the beautiful form of Gopal Krishna. That is all my mind want. What other benedictions could I ask for? And after saying that he wants to always remember the form of the Lord, he now becomes more specific about what he would like to remember. Idam te mukham bhojam. That I want to remember the face Krishna. I want to remember your face. I want to remember your lotus eyes, your hairs, your lips. And in this way, he describes the lotus face of Krishna. And he says, for the mind, what else does one desire? There's this verse, Om apavitra pavitro vas sarvam gato piva yat smaret pundarikaksham sa bhaya bhayanta suchi. That whether one is in an auspicious condition or an inauspicious condition, if one simply remembers the lotus eye Lord, everything becomes auspicious and all fear is driven far away. So in these two verses, he's only asking for remembrance. But in the next verse, he becomes, by just remembering the Lord, he becomes more enthusiastic. And now he wants to see Krishna face to face. So he first glorifies Krishna. And he says, Namo Deva Damodar Ananta, O Eternal One, O Vishnu, O Omnipresent, O Master, I am suffering. So both have to be there. When we see the prayers of the different devotees, we see that they first glorify Krishna, that how Krishna is so great, but they also admit that I am so fallen. So both are there. And he says, for me, simply just remembering in my mind is not enough. Because the mind is fickle. I'm very fallen. For me, you have to manifest your form in front of me. Kripa drishti vritsyata dinam batanu. So, my Lord, please be merciful and please appear in front of me. And Krishna may say, you know, I can't just appear like that. You have to have the right qualities for me to appear. So Satyavrata Muni, thinking that Krishna will say this, he quotes two people. These two people were drunkards. They were intoxicated. They had no respect. But Krishna, you gave them your darshan. So he says, Kuveratma jo badra mudeva yatvat. That the two sons of Kuvera, they appeared in these trees and they got to see your divine pastimes face to face. And Krishna may say that this was actually an isolated incident. That this doesn't happen normally. That's why Satyavrata Muni in the next line, he says, Tatha prema bhaktim. That I want that same bhakti. Tatha means the same. I want that same brand of bhakti. But the next line he says, but I don't want liberation. Na mokshe graho me sti damodereha. That I want to see you face to face, but I don't want to have liberation. And then he ends the verse, the prayers. And normally we save the best till last, right? When I take a plate of prasadam, I always save the sweet till last. So similarly, Satyavrata Muni has saved the best till last. And he thinks that, okay, whatever faults may be there in the prayers, whatever may be there, if I take the name of someone dear to Krishna, then everything will be forgiven. And my pleas, my prayers will be granted. So Sanatan Goswami explains that he mentions two things here, which were very dear to Krishna. The first is Srimati Radharani. He says, Namo Radhikaya Tvadiya Priyaya. And the second thing he mentions is Ananta Leelaya. And Sanatan Goswami says that Ananta Leelaya refers to the Ras Leela. So Satyavrata Muni is mentioning both of these things, saying that he's paying obeisances from his heart to Srimati Radharani and to the one who performs the Ras Leela. So these are some thoughts taken actually from Sanatan Goswami and other classes that I had. One was His Grace Gauranga Prabhu's class on these prayers of Damodarastikam. So next time we sing them, or while we sing them through the month, we can maybe meditate on some of these thoughts of Satyavrata Muni and try and imbibe them within our own life. So I'd like to thank you very much for your kind attention. And please forgive me for any faults or any mistakes. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.